So today I was sitting in a political science class, and the professor was giving this lecture, and it was so boring. It was just like, Bueller, Bueller.
Why was he just saying Bueller?
You know, I mean, he wasn't actually saying Bueller. You know, it's from the movie.
What movie?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, yeah, I've never seen that.
You haven't seen it?
You haven't seen it.
No way.
You're out of order!
You're killing me, Smalls.
Fasten your seatbelts.
You're tearing me apart!
Houston, we have a problem.
What we've got here is failure.
Inconceivable.
God damn you all to hell!
Hello and welcome to...
You haven't seen it?
This is our inaugural episode of our podcast, You Haven't Seen It, and it's a podcast about our movie blind spots, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
My wife.
Hi.
That's her right there. Her name's Erin. She hasn't seen a lot of movies. She didn't grow up watching just tons of movies and stuff like that.
I have to make a statement here that I am... a theater person. I don't like movies. I don't like most movies, except the ones Joey shows me.
Well, let you say you're a theater person. Just how much of a theater person are you?
I've been doing theater for over 10 years. I'm a theater teacher at a high school, so I'm constantly doing theater things.
You love theater so much that you've committed to doing it for the next 40 years. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, good. Well, my name is Joey, and I have a background in film. I have a film degree. I've never worked in the film industry, but I did grow up watching a whole lot of movies. My dad used to go to the movies just randomly on the weekend, and I'd tag along with him, and he would just... take me to go see whatever he was already going to see, even if it was rated R or scary, a Western. It didn't matter. I saw weird, weird movies when I was a kid that kids weren't supposed to see.
And I hated going to the movies with my father, so.
Yeah, well, your dad probably watches terrible movies, if I had to guess.
Yes, indeed. I thought I hated movies until I met you, because all of the movies I'd ever seen were... garbage.
So a lot of times in our relationship, and we've been together since 2014, mm-hmm. we've been married for 6 years now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll bring up movies and reference movies, and she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never seen that. And it's really infuriating. And also, when I got done with film school...
Thank you.
It is, because you don't know who all these actors are.
And no matter how many times I will see a movie, I still will not know an actor's name. I don't know what it is. That is a big blind spot of myself.
Yeah, you are not good at
remembering actors. Do not recall actors' names.
Yeah, but it can be frustrating for me. I think the reason our relationship worked out the way it did was because when I was getting done with film school... I hated movies because all day long I'm thinking about movies. I'm talking to other people about movies. And then we started dating my senior year. And you're like, I don't care about movies. I'm not interested in that. Great. Let's talk about anything but movies. So I think that's why our relationship worked out initially. One of the many reasons.
Yeah.
We're a pretty good couple.
There's plenty of other reasons why we work well together.
Well, hold on. That made me totally lose my train of thought.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, it's all right. But anyway, I haven't really seen a lot of movies since film school, just because I kind of, it's lost its majesty to me a lot. So for the last 7-8 years, I've had pretty big movie blind spots as well. Mm-hmm. So through this podcast, we're going to each episode, we're going to present a movie to one another or some other piece of media that one of us, or maybe even both of us, haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
One of us is going to research it, and the other one is just going to give their honest opinions after seeing it one time for the first time. So we think that'll be a pretty great dynamic.
Yeah. I will say I have not seen a lot of movies, but I've seen a lot of theater, and there will be some musicals on this podcast. There might be full-on movies, movie musicals, and also even some plays, possibly. So there's going to be some different dynamics in this. It's not just movies. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, today I was thinking about it, and I don't want to do kids' movies. That's like the one thing that I don't want to do.
But I have some kid movies on my list that you have not seen that I think are either hilarious, that you would love to see how bad they are. Because one thing about Joey is he loves bad movies. And no, he knows it's a truth. He likes to watch those Hulk Hogan Goes to Frog Town movies.
Hulk Hogan Goes to Frog Town.
I don't know.
It's Hell Goes to Frog Town, and it's Roddy Piper.
Okay, I know there was a wrestler in it. I don't know the details, but he likes bad movies, but he thinks that they're funny.
No, like, yes, technically, they are bad. Like, they're not well made, and they might be confusing or
therefore,
something.
Therefore, I am correct.
But the thing is, I genuinely like those movies. It is not an ironic love. It is not a guilty pleasure. They are good to me because they're different. They break the rules. Whether it was on purpose or by accident, they're different.
Okay.
And it's fun to watch that. It really is. And when I watch a movie, I just want to be entertained. I like good movies. I like bad movies. I like all kinds of movies, but first and foremost, I just want to have a good time when I'm watching it. I want to turn my brain off, and I don't want to think about things in my life, how bad my marriage is going, or whatever.
What?
That doesn't happen much. Or at all. You guys can't see me, but I'm pulling the collar of my shirt.
I bet they could probably picture that. But I can also attest to this, because no matter how good or bad a theatrical show is, there are some shows that are just not well written, but they're attractive, like Cats.
I was just about to say Cats.
I love Cats, but I know it's not a greatly written show. It's not very well written. It's kind of a weird concept, and it's very niche. But the performance aspect of it is so entertaining that seeing that live is just, it's completely different than watching the movie version, which is garbage.
Oh, I feel like we're going to get into a discussion about Cats, because I really despise that show. But anyway, we're not here to talk about Cats, and we're not talking about theater today. Today, we are talking about Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Whose Day Off?
Ferris Bueller.
What kind of name is Ferris?
I don't know. I've never heard it. I've heard it as a last name, but I've never heard it as a first name.
It is the worst first name. That is literally whenever we first started watching this, I was like, Ferris. Why would someone name someone after a wheel or a carnival ride? That doesn't make sense to me. Ferris?
Ferris Wheeler's Day Off. And it would be one of the Wheelers from Return to Oz.
It's a Wheeler, Dorothy.
Okay, so Ferris Bueller's Day Off came out in 1986. It's a John Hughes movie.
Who's that?
Okay, I was about to ask, do you know who John Hughes is?
No.
John Hughes is Hollywood royalty. This guy has written so many amazing movies. He's written Pretty in Pink. Yeah, I'm not surprised. 16 Candles, The Breakfast Club.
Okay,
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
I don't know that one.
It's a really great movie with John Candy. He's written Home Alone, Uncle Buck. This guy, and he's directed like 8 of his films that he's written too. But
did he direct this one?
Yeah, he directed and wrote Ferris Bueller's Day Off. So this guy's Hollywood royalty. I don't know how many awards he has. I probably should have looked that up.
Mm-hmm.
But we watched the movie last night. I hadn't seen it since I was a teenager. And because it was always on cable constantly when I was a kid. Like, it was one of those, TNT had an ad campaign that they were doing, like the new classics or something, and it was just a bunch of cheap movies that they could show that had a lot of love behind them. So mm-hmm. like Roadhouse was one of the new classics.
I love Roadhouse.
Yeah, that's one. We're not going to cover Roadhouse on the show because we've both seen it multiple times.
I love that show. It's such a good movie.
Yeah, it's really something. That's another
one. Anything with Patrick Swayze, I have to watch. I've watched them all. Maybe not all, but most.
Patrick Swayze is from the same city that we live in.
Yeah, Houston.
Yeah. So, good for him, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, Ferris Bueller's Day Off came out in 1986. I was only 2 years old. You were negative 7 years old.
Ooh.
So this movie, we're not from the generation that grew up with this movie. I saw it on TV a few times. But watching it last night made me realize why it's such a classic and why mm-hmm. it's so good. It's a lighthearted comedy, but it also sneaks in some really emotional stuff on you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good. What were your initial thoughts and what do you know about this movie?
So one of my initial thoughts on this movie was it looked really good. The video quality was great. I was like, this does not look like an 80s movie. In my opinion, or maybe I just seen horribly filmed 80s movies, but it didn't look 80s to me. And like, even the costumes, I could see some of my students wearing those clothes. Like they weren't super 80s-fied.
Yeah. John Hughes movies, always the wardrobe is really good. You can tell it's the 80s, but it's not like, you know,
there were some,
in your
there were some
80s.
Characters that I was like, that's 80s. But like Ferris, like he was in very basic clothing, like a vest and a t-shirt and some pants.
Yeah.
Like, and then there were some haircuts and some like accessories that people were wearing that I was like, yeah, that's 80s. But for the most part, it didn't look deep in the 80s. It was 86.
Yeah, it came out in 86.
So it's kind of later 80s, but
yeah, we're deep mid 80s.
Yeah. So it was that time period where it was the most 80s, but it didn't feel it as much. Like I could watch this. I think even some of my students would watch this and be like, "Yeah, that's cool."
Yeah, it really could exist in any time. It's kind of like Shakespeare in that way. You can just you could
revamp
cuz there's never not going to be kids going to high school, you know.
Yeah.
So you could really just do it at any time. The difference there would be like cell phones and technology, because there's quite a bit of technology in the movie.
Something else, immediately, one of the first notes that I put was nobody puts baby in a corner.
So you noticed Jennifer Grey was in the movie.
I don't know her name, but I noticed the actress.
Oh, she seemed to really put herself in the corner for most of the
movie. I know. I wish she had a bigger part, especially like she seemed so into like getting everyone to realize that he is skipping and he gets his way no matter what, which I relate to because I never got what I wanted. My brother always got what he wanted. One of my brothers.
Yeah. We both are the lesser childs in our family.
Yes.
Like we have at least one sibling each that was kind of like the golden kid and, mm-hmm. and did everything right.
I have four brothers and I'm right in the middle. And so growing up, for the most part, it was just the oldest three. And I was the youngest for 6 years. And then my parents had another one. And then a decade at least, my youngest brother was born. So he's even still in high school. But I was the least, I don't know. I was not treated as well as my middle brother of that time of us three. So my second oldest brother,
mm-hmm.
he was treated like a god. And so no matter what he did, it was never wrong. One time he even egged someone's house and my parents were like, "Oh, Mark, you shouldn't do that." And like, if I would have done that, I would have been grounded for weeks. They would have taken my phone away. It would have been a whole big deal.
Yes. Yeah, I totally understand. I always think about you. You're the third of five.
Mm-hmm.
And your younger brothers came along kind of later. So you went from being the baby in the family to the middle child over across 12 years.
Yeah.
It's something.
It's something. Yeah.
Me, I only had one older sibling, and she made good grades, and she was interested in stuff my parents liked. So it seemed like she just got everything.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I was an accident. My parents weren't planning on having me. Same. When they did. They said they were going to have another kid anyway, but they weren't expecting me. I think that's kind of a metaphor for my whole childhood. Oh. It's like, Joey is such an inconvenience. Oh. But what are you going to do, right?
Yeah.
It was funny watching it this time. I realized this isn't Ferris's story at all. It's his sister and Cameron's story.
Yes.
They're the ones who are going through something and have to reconcile by the end of the movie. I'm more identified with Cameron.
Yeah.
Because he has an issue with his dad.
And I definitely identified with that sister. I wish she was in it more.
Yeah.
Like, there were several times where she was just, like, thrown about, like, oh, I hate my brother. And it was just very one note. And, like, I also, when I was younger, hated my brother. That was God's given gift to my family. I didn't hate him. I hated him. But it was different. It was complex. And I wish I could have seen that the complexity that they showed with Cameron.
Yeah.
They showed a lot of complexity with him. And I liked Cameron a lot. And I wish there was moments where Cameron and I don't know the girl.
Sloan.
Yeah, Sloan. There were like moments where it was like, do they like each other? But nothing happens with that. And I was like, kind of like, oh, it would be so nice if Cameron got the girl.
Oh, is this another Ducky situation?
I mean.
She should have chose Ducky.
Ducky was amazing. He was so good to her.
No, he was kind of bratty, to be honest. Yeah, but I like Cameron a lot in this movie. I wouldn't be surprised if earlier drafts of the script were about Jennifer Grey's character instead of Ferris. And then after, you know, going over the script a few times, like, oh, actually it's better to make Ferris the main character of the film, even though he doesn't learn anything. He just goes around being a jerk all the time. He was so mean to Cameron earlier in the movie, and he hits him and gaslights him and uses him for his
Ferris
stuff.
Ferris is a jerk.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I didn't like it that much when I was a kid.
Because you're supposed to relate to Ferris, like.
I don't know if you are. Because a lot of people just seem to be
it's
either
about him. So you want to be like, oh, like they're the main character. I need to be relatable to this person. I can relate to skipping school, but you're right. Like Cameron is it goes more into depth with him than Ferris.
Yeah, that's why I said it's his story. Ferris is the main character, but it's Cameron's story because he has a resolution at the end. You know, he learns something about himself and becomes a better person and says he's going to confront his father. And then Jennifer Grey just has to accept the fact that she's the lesser of the two kids.
Something else that I absolutely loved, and I hope I'm like this, is I hope I am like these government teachers and all of these teachers in this movie, even the, I think it was biology that they were doing, I don't know what other subject, but they were so boring. And I hope I'm so boring to my students, but I know I'm not.
Wait, you want to be boring, but you're not.
I want to be boring. I feel like with boring teachers, kids are just like, whatever, and they're quiet. But my kids are so loud because, like, I goof around with them too. And so I feel like I amp them up, like, I egg them on. Oh. So, like, they're more goofy.
Wow, Aaron, that's a real humble brag.
Mm-hmm,
oh, I wish I was a bad teacher so my kids wouldn't love me so much.
I wish I was monotoned and a pain to sit with.
Real humble brag there.
I was just, my note was just, these teachers are top tier. Even the secretary was, I loved that character. It was so much fun
to
watch
her.
Yeah, she
was. I love it when she calls Jennifer Grey a little asshole. Like, whoa, what a little asshole.
Little asshole. P. Peterson's impression, the hell is wrong with you? I'm trying to read my notes, and some of these I can't really remember what I'm talking about. So, like, there's one part that says paint on windows.
Paint on windows?
Yeah, there's a moment where there's paint on windows.
No, that doesn't ring a bell. Maybe I should have made some notes.
Peterson's impression of the hell is wrong with you.
The hell is wrong with you? I'm not doing a very good impression. What? The hell? When Cameron calls the teacher. When calls the...
That's what it was.
The hell is wrong with you?
I loved that. I just want him to do impressions the whole show.
Well, what was that impression? Me?
No. Cameron, like his little, like imitating like officers, and I wish he would have done that more.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like the whole concept of them like using their phones to make them believe them, like when Peterson calls the school and is Sloane's father, and then Ferris calls on another line and is like, "Oh, this is Ferris Bueller," and Cameron is doing impressions of parents, and then later on at the restaurant they do the same thing with the server. And he's the police.
Oh, when he's being Abe Froman. I forgot about that. Yeah, they use phones a lot in this movie.
A lot.
It makes me think, like, could you do this now with cell phones? Like,
I don't know.
I really think cell phones have ruined modern movies in a way. Don't you think so?
Older movies, you mean?
No.
Yeah, totally. I get what you mean.
Because everything is so easily solved. And you have to make up a reason why, they put all their cell phones in a pillowcase and hit it. You know, like, it's really made making new movies harder.
Also, one of my biggest questions is, like, where was this shot at? Because the terrain in this movie is all over the place. They're in downtown Chicago at half of the movie, but then they're also in this small suburb, I guess it is.
Yeah, it's definitely a suburb of Chicago. There's no houses like that in Chicago city limits.
It looks really weird. And then when they go to Cameron's house, it's in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, that was really weird. I don't even think his house was a house. It looked like some sort of gallery or something like that. Because they had like one exterior shot. And then they go into his bedroom, which could have been a set.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the movie, when they have the car in there, it's that big garage, but it doesn't really look like a garage. It looks like
it doesn't even look like there's garage doors.
No, it looked like it was some sort of like art gallery that didn't have any art in it.
it was a very interesting terrain, and I would say pulled me out of the movie for sure.
Oh, that's just movie making for you. I wouldn't be surprised if the exterior of Ferris Bueller's house was in California, like Pasadena or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
But that's another interesting thing. The juxtaposition of the Bueller's home compared to Cameron's home.
Yeah.
Where like Cameron's home was very square and had a lot of sharp edges and like newer technology. And that didn't have like wallpaper and a bunch of stuff just laying around. Like his house didn't look lived in.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they chose that location. Where Ferris Bueller's house is like, there's a lot of bright colors and white walls and stuff everywhere. Even when
the principal was in the window, like you saw close to their fireplace, like what was all over their mantle, their lamp. Their lamp had like, I don't know if it was a bird, but there was some type of animal like in stained glass around this lamp. There were plants in there. So you could see that like it was very homey. In the Ferris home.
Yeah, it was. It definitely was. And obviously by design, because they want you to know from the very beginning of the movie that they're a good family and they don't scream and yell at each other and they believe their kids and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Even when, you know, the mom goes to pick up Jennifer Grey's character.
At the police station?
Yeah, at the police station. She's not like super upset about it. She's just more annoyed. Yeah, and
she's making out with some random guy.
Yeah,
and oh my god. Her mom is just like, oh, come on, let's go.
When we were watching that part last night, I was saying, like, look how emaciated Charlie Sheen looks and all sweaty and stuff. Mm. And then I found out that he stayed up for like 48 hours straight to look like that.
Ew.
Right? But I'm thinking
that's
like,
what makeup is for.
Yeah, you're right. But here's the thing. I'm thinking like, this is Charlie Sheen. This is Tiger Blood Charlie Sheen. Do you really think he stayed up 48 hours on his own? Or do you think he had a little help from a powdery substance?
Definitely that powdery substance, whether that was smoke, snorted, or injected.
I don't think it was injected.
I don't know if it, not I yet. Don't even know not, if you can do that.
I think you can.
Oh.
I don't know. I saw that documentary on I saw the Behind the Music on Motley Crue, and they shot up like Jack Daniels. So.
Ew. Gross. Also, there were lots of times where his dad saw him or was near him and he didn't hear or see anything. Like, literally in the bathroom where Ferris Bueller is narrating all of this stuff happening at the restaurant, and then his dad walks out of the bathroom. It was like, you didn't hear your son?
Well, apparently nobody hears him narrate.
Okay.
Which is kind of a funny thing. Like, does he have an issue with, like, narrating his life and thinking that nobody can hear him and everybody's just ignoring him? Yeah, that was weird. The narration part of the movie, I don't know if it works or not.
I don't think it does.
I think that's what really turned me off about it as a kid. One of the things was like, I don't need to be talked to by the main character.
It also is like, we can understand what's going on without you having to narrate.
Yeah.
Like, the movie's not that complicated.
No, you're right. It's not. I think they just thought it was cute in that Matthew Broderick is just cute and has a like an interesting voice. That sounds good when you just...
Yeah, he's a little cutie.
Yeah. He's a total cutie.
He's such a little cutie.
Oh. You're not getting close enough to the mic.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
You keep
getting further and further away from the mic.
I can't see my notes. I feel like I'm all over the place. Phone lines love this trope. Oh, yeah, that I already said that. Oh, you know something that was really goofy was the... What was up with those guys' hats? Did you figure out what was...
Oh, those were... So I read a couple things that John Hughes was just using. Like, when they were downtown, he was kind of just using shots of regular people. Those guys were there to see what was the German Day Parade, which I didn't know they had anything like that in Chicago.
Oh, okay. That's why they were dressed German.
Is that German how they were dressed?
Well, the girls on the float.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
I thought you were still talking about the guys in the building.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't, if I saw those hats in Germany, I'd be like, okay.
I don't know. They look Japanese to me. Maybe.
They looked real goofy. And I was like, what the hell are those hats?
Yeah, it was interesting. But also, when the parade was going on, he saw some window cleaners dancing to music. So he got the camera operator to shoot them real quick.
Oh, even the people on the street, though?
No, not the people in the street. Okay. I'm sure that was some choreographed dance that they had planned. But I thought that was funny that he's just like, get those people are funny.
Oh,
get
that's
them.
Cute. You know who, I don't know why, I just wrote this note down whenever we were watching, but his sister's sunglasses were so freaking cool.
I don't remember.
Look them up. Look up those sunglasses because they were really cool. Like, they were like sunglasses regular, but they had this like, you know, like how safety glasses have like the little side barrier.
Yeah.
But it was metal.
Hmm.
They looked really cool. I want those sunglasses. So hint, hint, I want those sunglasses.
All right. Well, if somebody listening out there wants to get my wife those for Christmas.
Or my husband.
Oh, sorry.
Scorching case of herpes. What is someone said that who says they have a scorching case of herpes?
I don't remember.
They're trying to prevent someone from like doing something. I got a scorching case of herpes. Oh, it was the sister. I don't know if it was like in the house, but she was talking to someone. Maybe it was like in the hallway. I don't know. But someone says Scorching Kiss.
Oh, right. She thought that Jeffrey Jones, the principal character. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if he was a principal or an administrator. Do you remember?
Pretty sure he's the principal.
Yeah, she was like, she said that because she's like, oh, in case he tries to rape me.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of off-putting a little bit when you think about it today. That somebody would make a joke about rape like that just so casually in a movie. Oh, by the way, the guy who plays the principal in that, pedophile.
Ooh.
Yeah. Known pedophile. Gross. Jeffrey Jones.
That makes it even worse.
Somehow it does, doesn't it?
Yeah. And there was all these, like, Ferris kept getting, like, these gifts from everyone. Like, there was, like, the water tower that said, "Save Ferris." Mm-hmm. And then he got, like, flowers from the English department at his school, I'm guessing.
Yeah, because they thought he had a terminal illness or something.
Yeah, but then also, later on, he gets a nurse to come to his house. I'm guessing she's a stripper. But she sings some song and she says, "A nurse who likes to..." And then he cuts her off.
Yeah, by slamming the door.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's from the biology department.
What?
You know, like sex biology.
So the sex ed teacher sent that over there.
Yeah.
That was such a trope of movies for a while, of like somebody ordered the stripper to the house. Isn't that weird?
That is such a... Especially for high schoolers, like, that's gross.
Yeah, that is really gross. But my favorite one by far is from Under Siege, when they're having that party on the boat for the Admiral or whatever, and they got a big cake, and then, like, a Playboy model pops out of it. I think her name is, like, Erica Ilyanaika or something. She had a weird
last name.
I totally
know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but she was a hot model, and she popped out. And I was a kid, and she showed her boobs, and I was like, yeah, Under Siege.
Oh, gross.
But now when I see that, I just think, like, how long was she inside that cake? Like, she must have been in that cake forever.
Probably. I loved when they went to the museum. Is the Sunday in the Park at the museum in Chicago?
I have no idea where that is.
Okay, because
I went to the museum in Chicago, but I don't remember seeing it. And that was a long time ago.
Oh, because you've been to Chicago.
Yeah, and I've been to the Fine Arts Museum.
Okay.
In Chicago, but I didn't see it there. I don't know if those things move around or if they stay in the same.
I mean, it was also in the 80s, so that was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was a real long time ago. I did like all the shots in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of funny to me. I was thinking about it today, that he puts this elaborate scheme together to skip school for one day to visit a city that he's already living
Yes.
in. Right?
Yeah.
So, like, we live in Houston. I went to high school here. I wouldn't just skip school to go hang out downtown.
Yeah.
I would do that on the weekend. If they would, like, the Art Car Parade happens on a Saturday.
Yeah.
If I was going to go to the Art Car Parade, I would just wait till school ends.
Yeah. Also, why is the parade happening on a weekday?
I don't know. Those Germans, man. They're the humorless, no fun Germans.
Yeah. Sounds about right. Oh. When, also about Charlie Sheen, when he looked at her, he was like, when he looked at the sister, he said, your eye makeup is too much. You look like a hooker or something like that. And he's like, my sister wears too much eye makeup. She's a slut. And she's barely wearing any eye makeup. Like, literally looks like she doesn't have any on.
Well, you're going to have to talk to the makeup artist on that one.
Yeah, that's definitely a downfall.
That was weird.
It was very weird. Like, you have too much... You've got too much eye makeup on, Charlie Sheen. Those bags under his eyes, I thought was makeup.
Well, they probably was makeup.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, just because he stayed up 48 hours doesn't mean they're not going to put makeup on him.
Yeah.
You know, you still have to wear makeup.
Yeah, but... It was intense. When I saw him, I was like, he look like shit. Like, oh my God. I barely recognized him almost. Mm-hmm. I was like, who is that guy? I feel like he's not a good person. And you said, oh, that's Charlie Sheen. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's him.
I don't think Charlie Sheen is necessarily a bad guy. I just think he's got some serious issues.
Yeah.
But, you know, feel free to disagree with me if you want. I don't really honestly know that much about the guy.
I don't know much about him either. I've heard horrible things.
Yeah, I've heard some pretty rough stuff.
One of the other concepts of this whole show was that they took the dad's car. Because the dad's supposed to be like a neat freak, kind of, and like particular.
Yeah, well, Cameron keeps mentioning that he loves that car. Like, he loves that car more than his family.
But also, like, even he was saying, like, at his house, like, his dad's constantly, like, checking everything to make sure everything's pristine. And
yeah, his dad's like a neat freak.
Yeah, like I just said. Mm-hmm. but whenever they were like, oh, well, we'll just put the car in reverse and take the miles off of it, did Cameron not understand that that's not how cars work?
Well, Cameron can't stand up to Ferris. That's part of the thing. It's like he won't stand up for himself to anyone. Like, yeah. He lets people walk all over him. So he knows that's not going to work. But he lets Ferris take it anyway, because. Mm.
But then why would they sit there at his house with it in reverse on a stand?
Yeah, I'm not saying that it makes perfect sense. I'm just saying that's the reasoning that I would apply to it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where my head goes. But that scene is really great when they're in there and it's going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
They got it in reverse and it's up on the little stand and it's real quiet at first. And then mm-hmm. you know it's not going to work.
Yeah.
You as the viewer, you're like, that's not going to fucking work.
Yeah.
You know? So he goes over there. He's like, Ferris, it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts to get emotional. That scene really hit me. And it was a really great performance by that actor. I forget his name. The only other thing I know him from is he was like the comedic relief on the bus and Speed.
I don't know that movie.
Well, we're going to watch it.
Okay.
Because it's good. You're going to see it. Yeah, but what did you think of that scene and his performance?
Well, when it comes to his like performance, I thought he was very believable. But also, I was just like, how stupid are you? That's what I kept thinking. I was like, everyone knows you can't just put a car in reverse. And I was like, and then I thought, I was like, okay, well, maybe older cars, you could do that too. But then I was like, then if someone's driving in reverse all the time, how will they know when they need to get their car fixed? Because like, you need to look at your odometer to see like, oh, I've hit this many miles. I need to get my spark plugs removed.
Just get them removed, not put back in?
I don't know. I'm not a car person. I'm not a car person, and I know that you can't just put it in reverse.
Yeah, I don't think you're I think you're supposed to know that.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's a plot point. If you're supposed to get that, it's supposed to build up the fear in you that you're like, guys, don't take the car. Don't take the car. That's not going to work. You can't drive it in reverse. You can't do that. You're supposed to feel like a tinge of fear every time you see them in the car. And that's why when they go and park it and you see
the guys hop in.
That scene where they're walking away from the garage and you see the two parking attendants jump in the car just like right behind them.
Yeah.
Like they don't even care if they get caught. But every time they're on screen, you're supposed to be like, don't hurt the car. Don't mess up the car. And it really plays with your emotions when they bring the car back and you're like, it's fine. It's fine. They didn't mess the car up.
Yeah. But oh my God, whenever I was getting so excited when he kept kicking the car and I was like, fall off, fall off, fall off. I was just waiting for it to fall off, mm-hmm. For the stand to fall over and the car to just run out of the shop, out of the garage, which it did. If you haven't seen it.
Spoiler alert. I hope you're not listening to this before you watch the movie.
Yes, I will make a statement here. If you are listening to this and you have not seen the show, there are going to be spoilers. So be advised.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, I mean, we're sorry. Like, we know this is a crowded space of movie podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So forgive us. And so what did you think about the ending where he was jumping over all the fences and...
Well, I wish his sister would have, like... I know that we want Ferris to, like, get away with it.
I don't.
I didn't either. I feel like that they were like, oh, we want Ferris to get away with it. But I was like, oh, no, I want that motherfucker to get caught. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I did too. Yeah, I wanted him.
I know. I hated him. I didn't hate him. I didn't like him. Because he reminded me of other people that I know that got whatever they want. So I was just like, oh. When his sister turned it on him, I was just like, what are you doing? Also, you see this guy that you were so scared of. How did you not know he was your principal?
Oh, that's a really good point. I never thought about that. She was like,
she saw him in her house, and she kicked him in the nose?
I don't remember.
I don't know what happened. She attacked him and ran upstairs, and then she called the cops, and she was like, oh my gosh, there's some strange man. It's like, he works at your school. Your school's probably not that big to where you don't know who that teacher is. He's not even a teacher. He's an administrator. But granted, I think I have some students that don't know who our principal is. So.
I'm trying to remember if there was ever a time where I didn't know who the principal was.
There are students that don't know our principal.
I mean, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all by that statement. Yeah, but what did you think about the scene with him, like, jumping over all the fences and running back?
I mean, it was goofy. It had my heart racing, but I knew who was going to get out of it.
Yeah.
You know, that's another reason I was like, oh, I wanted to get caught. You know?
Yeah, you do. In that point, like, I feel like it has pretty low stakes. Because, like, now that Cameron is out of the picture.
Yeah.
You're just like, well, I don't care if Ferris gets caught or not. Like, I don't care about this jaunty little... thing of him running back. But I did like the song.
What song do, was
oh, oh.
The whole
chicka chicka do oh oh
that was playing through the whole
I don't remember scene. I just remember that song was in the movie.
It was in there twice.
Yeah, it was. I can't remember if that was the part of it or something else.
It was at the very end, like in the what are the exit people's names,
the credits. They have credits in theater, right?
I mean, you have a playbill.
But there's credits in the playbill, right?
There's bios and headshots. I wouldn't call them credits.
Yeah. Also, I really like the...
It's a who's who.
Yeah, like the credits roll. Mm-hmm. You know, Ferris makes it home all right. Like, his sister is okay with the fact that he's the golden child now.
Yeah.
And then the credits start to roll.
Yeah.
But they didn't want you to stop. Like, there's still stuff that happens during the credits with Jeffrey Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets on the bus.
Yeah.
And that girl offers him a gummy. Because his car got towed.
Yeah, I know
so
that.
So he needed a lift for school.
Yeah, but I don't know why we needed to see that. I watched it and
I'll tell you why.
What is this?
So post-credit sequences now are... normal people
at the very end, like after the credits have gone.
Yeah, but it's normal now, right? Back then when the credits started rolling, people just got up and left.
Yeah,
so they
I remember doing that.
Yeah, but I remember when I was a kid, most movies didn't have most of them, like 99% of them didn't have credit, didn't have anything after the credits. Wayne's World I thought was crazy because it had an after credit sequence.
Did Wayne's World come out after this show?
Yeah.
This movie? Yeah.
Wayne's World came out in like 1992.
Okay.
But that's one of my favorite movies from my childhood. But back then, that was kind of an unheard of thing. Mm-hmm. So they wanted to keep people in the theater. So they made up that little part with Jeffrey Jones getting on the school bus and then getting offered a soft gummy bear or something like that.
Yeah. They're soft and warm.
Yeah, and they wanted, but they wanted to keep everybody in the theater because they wanted to keep that part at the end with Ferris Bueller coming back and being like, "What are you guys still doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here! The movie's over."
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they put that in there specifically for that.
Yeah. They're like, this guy, he can talk to the camera, so why not we have him come and shoo everybody out at the end? And they really wanted to do it, but they didn't know how to keep people in the audience.
Oh.
So they threw in that stuff with Jeffrey Jones.
Hmm.
I thought it was pretty clever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, knowing that, yeah.
All right. So, I mean, that pretty much covers the movie. I think you have any other notes in there that you want to get to?
I guess that is it. I don't have any other thoughts. Would I watch it again? Probably not.
Never ever?
If someone was like, hey, I really want to watch Ferris Bueller, I'd be like, okay, I'll be on my phone while you watch it. I'll be in the room with you, but I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think I would watch it again unless somebody suggested it.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely enjoyed watching it this last time more than I have any other time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just kind of like, I don't really want to watch a movie about this asshole kid.
Yeah, I'd rather watch Pretty in Pink.
Yeah, Pretty in Pink.
Or 16 Candles.
A lot of the other John...
Or Breakfast Club.
A lot of the John Hughes movies would be much higher up on my list of things to watch. Like, I love The Breakfast Club. What else? 16 Candles is a really great movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some John Hughes movies I haven't seen in many years that I would much rather revisit than see Ferris Bueller's Day Off again.
Yeah. I would, if someone was like, I've never seen it, I'd be like, yeah, watch it. But I wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, you have to watch this movie. So.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I would definitely. Fair enough. Ferris enough.
Ferris enough.
Yeah, I definitely would recommend it. But I wouldn't be like, you gotta see this.
Yeah.
You haven't seen this? You gotta see this.
Yeah.
Did we talk about how that's the name of our podcast?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, we named our podcast.
We talked a little bit about why we named, where, what this is about.
Okay. Well, we named it You Haven't Seen or Haven't.
Wait, you haven't seen it?
You haven't seen it because when I was a kid, people would be like, oh, did you see Johnny Mnemonic? And mm-hmm. I'd be like, no. And like, you haven't seen it? They would like freak out and be like, I can't believe you never saw that movie.
People do that to me all the time.
Yeah.
Because I don't watch movies.
Yeah. And that's why our podcast is called You Haven't Seen This.
Seen It.
I can't. But anyway, I think that's going to do it for our first episode. We're going to work on the format a little bit more. I know it's not perfect, but we're not professional podcasters.
And this is only the first time I've ever made a podcast. So I'm a virgin.
I've tried making a few other podcasts when I was in film school, but they didn't go well.
Yeah.
But I think this one's going to go pretty good because we've got a clear, concise...
Objective.
Clear, yeah, objective. And
that's a theater term. So, yeah, if you enjoyed listening, please subscribe. Hey, guys, let's subscribe to our video. I hate that so much. Cut it out.
Subscribe, ring that bell, and give us a thumbs up. And don't forget to buy products that are in the thing. And
we don't have merch.
All these things, they just get longer and longer, don't they? Like, push the heart, and don't forget to poke the butthole so that... That's just crazy. I'm also thinking about adding some segments into the end.
Yeah, like what?
Like maybe we watch a YouTube video and comment on that because the show is about media.
Yeah.
I remember it made me think about it. I remember watching Scott Steiner Math.
What?
Two men are going to have a wrestling match. They got a 50-50 chance of winning.
I feel like since I'm
a genetic freak, you got 25% less chance of winning than I do. Which means I have a 75% chance of it. And he just keeps going on.
Yeah.
I think we should have stuff like that in here and watch that.
Fun little clips like that. Yeah.
Yeah, like a 3-minute clip from something.
That it would be fun to also like just react in time. So like watching it while we talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Well, thank everybody for listening.
Thank everyone else.
Thanks to everyone for listening. It's been kind of hard talking this whole time. It's getting harder and harder as this podcast gets longer and longer.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stop talking now. Everybody have a great day.
Or a great night. Or a great week.
Don't forget to flog yourself for movies you haven't seen.
flog yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you have suggestions of movies, I don't know what kind of media we can attach to this so you can say, hey, have you seen this? And we can watch that. But I would love to hear suggestions eventually.
All right. Thanks, everybody. You've been listening to You Haven't Seen It?